Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Manick, joined by Rich Rebar. We are here to discuss the conference championships for sports betting purposes. We're just shooting the shit. We're hanging out, you know. It's the end of the year.
The picks have been good, though.
Party vibe. The picks have been good. I want to say Cowboys covering was the only one we missed.
I was in on the Cowboys over and that closed the weekend poorly, but the other three games were all hot and we delivered.
Yes. I mean, look,
I gave a little bit back to the tills at the end.
I mean, to be honest, the Cowboys not only should have covered, they should have won that game. Like, let's just be real about it.
Dak played you're a Cowboys fan.
Dak played so bad, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, it was ultimately like the worst way to lose, because it was like, you know, the Murtaugh, like, I'm getting too old for this shit. Because Dak played bad. They dropped two interceptions. They could have had like a kick return for a touchdown. And they basically were still there. Like we're still right there.
Yes.
Absolutely horrible. And Pollard got hurt too, on top of everything.
I mean, I would say my decision to revoke Dallas Cowboys fandom is amongst the most mentally healthy things I think a human being could ever do.
Any fandom is good, but especially the Cowboys. Yes.
Cause I'm just thinking of like, what would like 17-year-old me have been doing during that game? And like, I would have been losing my mind, dude. Like, your son is right at that age where, and he's a Giants fan. So he's going through it right now.
Two drives in, he was like,
It is what it is. Yeah.
Like immediately two drives in the game. He was like, oh no. Like it's been a good ride.
And I mean, the Dak, obviously one thing that I am proud of myself for not getting involved in is like the Dak discourse, right?
Oh, like, and you knew it was coming. There's no way.
But there's just no reason for it. There's no reason to get involved in it. You know, so no. I feel good. I feel good because I used to be a big Dak discourser, and there's just simply no. He's 30 years old, man. This dude is not changing. He is who he is. He's good. He's not Mahomes, and he's not Burrow, and he's not Josh Allen. Although, I mean, the Bills, dude. I mean, where are we at? Where are we at on our Buffalo Bills? Is it McDermott is a wimp in the playoffs? Is it roster construction problem? I mean, that was. Their playoff loss was way more embarrassing than the Cowboys. They just like they got little boyed, man. They got too smalled by the Cincinnati Bengals at home.
Yeah, and you know, Josh Allen, obviously, you know, his contract is kicking in here, you know, exponentially, and they've got to try to find a way to get pieces, man. It's interesting because that feel, you know, their window's definitely not closed, but like, this was a great opportunity these last few years for the Bills, and to come away with really nothing. They didn't even go to an AFC championship game. It's rough, man.
No conference championship game on the rookie contract. And Stephon Diggs is he going to be 29 or 30? Stephon Diggs age.
He'll be in his 30s.
He's going to turn 30 next year. Gabe Davis, yep.
You need wideouts.
Gabe Davis, look, we liked him. He is not him, you know. I mean, now, did the ankle limit Gabe Davis a little bit? Sure. You could argue that, but he's clearly not.
they had a ton of defensive injuries, obviously the Von Miller injury being out, but also when you go all in to the degree they did,
you can't miss that guy. When you're all in, you can't be missing that guy in the playoffs.
The 33-year-old pass rusher that has had injury, like, you know, and the Dolphins did this with Terron Armstead too, right? Like, and it was kind of necessity for the Dolphins, like where they had to overpay for Terron Armstead. But when Terron Armstead's out, like a large chunk of the second half of the season, like that's been his career. Like, so you know what you're getting. It stinks, but it is what it is, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bills, yeah, definitely an interesting spot. We've got a few of those teams, like the Rams, like, you know, how quickly can the Rams bounce back? Obviously they'll have Stafford and cut back, but they have no draft capital. Can they coax Aaron Donald to coming back? There's a lot going on with a lot of these good teams, but you know, you've got Burrow on his rookie contract.
This offseason, I mean, I don't want to get my expectations too high, but it could be the greatest offseason in NFL history. It really could
not
be.
I'm really trying not to work a lot at this offseason.
I got bad news for you, buddy.
I know, man.
Because I did a little cursory glance, and this is like a common talking point now. Is like, this is like the worst free agent wide receiver class ever. And it is. It's real bad.
There'll be trades, though.
That's what I was getting at, is because good teams realize that it's not even enough to have two guys who are good. You kind of need three. I mean, I think we're going to see some crazy, and all three of the top wide receivers, Quentin Johnson, Addison, and Smith and Jigba, I mean, they all have legit questions. Like, there's all one bugaboo you could point for all of them and be like, well, I don't know about this. So that adds another interesting wrinkle to it as well.
Yeah, great running back class, a great free agent yes. running back class too. Like, it's there. This is going to be a definite offseason of fantasy whack-a-mole trying to figure out, especially these early best ball drafts, right? Like, the running back landscape is a wild card right now, because you look at all the, like, Josh Jacobs entering free agency, Miles Sanders entering free agency, David Montgomery entering free agency. This running back class is amazing. Yeah, there's a lot going on. This offseason. And we're gonna have a ton of quarterback movement. Like, the Jets clearly are all in on trying to get Aaron Rodgers right now, by them hiring Nathaniel Hackett. Like, it's insane. Clearly their initial domino of like trying to get Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. So yeah, unfortunately, yeah, you are right. Like, here's the thing that really makes me mad though about my job, and I know everyone's like, you know, whatever you're gonna complain about, right, about fantasy football, sure. But the biggest complaint is the NFL season opens the same week of the opening week in a March Madness. Like, we gotta position this where it's a week later.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
This is the way it's been the last few years. So like, I'm trying to go to Vegas opening week in a March Madness, but like, I can't when I have to write up like DJ Shark signing, you know, a contract to Minnesota Vikings. Like, we need to position this so the NFL starts a week later.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude, that's not gonna be a good time. It's gonna be, yeah. DJ Shark
has games this year in the tournament too, but not till round two.
Yeah, crazy.
But Vegas, March Madness opening weekend in Vegas is one of those life events that you just need to do. And on top of it all, St. Patrick's Day is Friday that weekend.
Wow.
Just damn it.
The NFL does not want Rich Rebar to get drunk in 2023. Is really what we're saying. It's just like, this man is not having dry January. He's having dry January, February, April,
yeah, March,
January,
middle yeah. March. Yeah. Just tough scenes.
All right, man.
Hopefully, that makes everyone not want to do this job.
We're here. The Chiefs opened as a favorite. Then they were a dog. Now they're the favorite again. FanDuel and DraftKings have moved it back to one. I think you could probably hunt and find some books who have left it. If they're slower moving or whatever. I mean, come on.
Rare dude. Double Wong spot that you do not see very often.
Tell the people how to use it.
Yeah. So the Wong bet is when you're moving a team through both key numbers, you're moving them through 3 and 7, and the Bengals opened -2.5. So if you did the 6-point tease, you move them through both. And then the Bengals were 2.5-point favorites. So you could have Wong the Chiefs through 3 and 7 as well. Once Mahomes got, we had video of him practicing. There was no, like, he had no DNP. Like, he was full practice. He looked fine. Like, the Chiefs bounced immediately back in terms of backers, which is cool. Cause I really was feeling uncomfortable about the Chiefs being kind of like the consensus, like dog, like everyone being on the Bengals.
I mean, everyone, I still feel like most people are on the Bengals.
I mean, maybe, I am too, but I didn't want to be on the wrong side of history where it's like, I'm with all, everyone on the boat. I need some people to go back.
I mean, I just feel like the Bengals to me are now the role of like the Manning Colts maybe or something. I don't know. I just, I,
or the, are the Chiefs the Manning Colts?
Maybe they are. Maybe they are. Maybe that's actually, and Burrow and Brady, Burrow is Brady and the Patriots, where it's like they don't have, they're not as flashy. The numbers aren't as crazy. The quarterback doesn't win MVP every year, but he's actually better.
I mean, well, the team, I think it's a team thing because like Mahomes is by far the best player in the NFL.
Mahomes' team stinks, dude. They should be a dog. They should be a home dog here, straight up.
But I, the rest of the Chiefs roster outside of Mahomes, and we can get into it too. Like, so this is where, so it wasn't a big deal, right? You look at the Chiefs, they trade Tyreek Hill. Patrick Mahomes leads the NFL in touchdowns, leads them in passing yards, almost has a chance to break the record. But do you think the Bengals are going to let, and Lui Anarumo are going to let you throw 17 passes to Travis Kelce in this game? There's no damn way that that happens. And the rest of these guys that are on the Chiefs offense, like, what are they doing? What are you getting out of any of these guys right now? We are at the point now that only the Chiefs, only two teams targeted their wide receivers fewer than 50% of the time this year. The Chiefs and the Ravens. Obviously, you have two great tight ends, but the Chiefs haven't had a 100-yard wide receiver since week 7. Over their past 11 games, their wide receivers have combined to score 7 touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster looked like he was going to be like hot in the middle of the year. He's done absolutely nothing.
Absolutely
in the past 10 weeks.
Nothing. Nothing.
And because the way the Chiefs had to structure their offense because the wide receiver room hasn't been good, they've been playing more two tight ends, and it's made Juju play more outside. He's played 65% of his snaps out wide, and this year, just like his entire career, he's a worse receiver when he doesn't play in the slot. That's tried and true again this year. MVS has done his MVS thing. I mean, where Justin Watson's out here like the ultimate exerciser. The Bengals are going to make the Chiefs wide receivers do something in this game. Because in the first game that these teams played, Travis Kelce had an 8 out of 5 yards. It was his second lowest in a game this season. He had 14% of the Chiefs' air yards. It was the second lowest in the game this season. And the wide receivers combined to catch 6 passes in that game. Like, they just have to get more production out of the non-Kelce players because there's no way the Bengals are going to let you line up and throw 17 passes to Travis Kelce this weekend.
I mean, or is that what every team thinks and that's not actually the way it works and Kelce is just going to end up doing his thing because he's that good?
I mean, potentially. I mean, Kelce definitely is that damn good, but you got to get some other production out of these other guys, man. We've seen like with the Bills too, right? Like it caught up to the Bills.
It did catch up to the Bills. But
and when you look at this Chiefs roster, it's very similar, right? Like it's outside of Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
It's just dudes all the way through the running backs.
Gabe Davis would be 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns on the Chiefs, I think, actually.
Yeah, and that's even like more of a detriment to what the point I'm hammering here.
Yeah. I mean, so I would say a couple things. One is like, that's a lot of credit to the Bengals. I mean, we got to give some credit to Andy Reid, right? Like Andy, I honestly doesn't like a part of me feels like Andy Reid is kind of like, he kind of is like, this is like a challenge, right? This is like upping the difficulty on Madden. You know, he's going from all pro to all Madden, right? And, you know, he's like, okay, Mahomes isn't going to be able to move as much. We're going to have to figure out, you know, Juju's going to have to do something. Unironically, I actually think Hardman coming back is like pretty good because they need someone else who is fast, who can like move laterally. And another thing is, what if they just say, fuck it. It's the AFC Conference Championship game. We can't play kid gloves with this guy. Kadarius Toney, you're playing 70% of the snaps at wide receiver.
I mean, they haven't had him play actual wide receiver is the problem.
Yeah. I mean, he played 20 snaps last week, which was his most snaps since week nine against Jacksonville.
Yeah. And 42% of his targets are behind the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, I expect there to be a lot of quick game in this, you know, a lot of Chiefs quick game for sure. But you know, you're going to get a lot of what you get from the Bengals. Like one of the great thing about the Bengals, especially in this particular matchup, is they don't have like a thing, right? Like me and Pizzuta talked about this on our podcast. Like they don't do one thing on defense. Like they do a ton of things. And you look at when these two teams have played the past 14 months, they have not played any single coverage 20% or more of the time. Like they just do a ton of different things all the time. They give you a ton of different looks. They don't give you one thing. And you don't really see that a lot anymore defensively, right? Like you don't see a lot of adjustments being made, especially in game. And the Bengals are kind of like that ultimate team. I mean, and that's bore out in these matchups. I mean, you look at these three games, the Bengals have outscored the Chiefs 48-19 in the second half of these games. So, I mean, yeah, they've really kind of stonewalled them in the second half of these games. I kind of like the first half over as like the optimal bet here, because I think the side, like, I don't think this game is going to be a blowout or be one-sided. It's going to be tight. All three of these games have been super tight, but first half over looks pretty good because you avoid those Bengals, adjustments. The three games these teams have played, they've scored 45, 31, and 24 points in the first half of this. And the Chiefs defense doesn't stop the Bengals at all in all three games. So I like first half over, I think, is the best play here.
I like over in this game in general, because I kind of feel like both teams are okay with it going over for how they want to play. And like first half over, I hadn't thought about that angle, but I think that seems good. I mean, honestly, this is what I can't log on to Twitter on Monday morning and just to be doing the referendum, like, oh, Joe Burrow is better than Patrick Mahomes and Mahomes won these MVPs. And, you know, it's just like, don't really want to be doing that. It's not really, but also at the same time, I don't know if other people who root for the Chiefs are having a very hard time, like, disliking Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I just find them pretty inoffensive, you know, like even the, like, yo, they're calling Arrowhead Burrowhead or whatever. I'm like, ah, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of funny. I don't know. Like, I feel like Colts and Patriots fans probably really hated each other in the 2000s or whatever, but it's whatever, you know, the Bengals, they've been bad for so long. Like what's it going to hurt to let them make back-to-back Super Bowls, you know?
I mean, it's turned into a really good rivalry, and I think we're going to have in the AFC just an extension, you know, of all these good quarterbacks beating each other up, you know, give or take, right, over the next, you know, 6 to 7 years, maybe longer, you know, through Mahomes's arc, because he's going to be good for another at least 6 to 8 years. And then you've got, you know, Burrow already there. Allen's been on the doorstep. You know, does Herbert and the Chargers ever get their shit together? Do the Jaguars make another jump?
That's
quarterbacks, man.
So that's another interesting thing about this Rodgers to the Jets angle, is like, what's the point, dude?
The same thing with Wilson. When Wilson went to the Broncos, it's like, dude, stay in the NFC.
Yeah, what do you want to do? You want to come play the rest of your career against
the twilight
Josh Allen
of your career.
Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, dude? No thanks.
Yeah, no way, man. Not on my agenda. I'm staying in the NFC. Look at the NFC, man. Kirk Cousins was rocking. Kirk Cousins is gonna own the NFC.
Brock Purdy is starting a conference championship game, bro.
Yeah, I'm not going to the AFC. If I'm these Brady moving, I'm
you think Brady's going to the 49ers?
I don't know what the hell's going on, Brady, man. He ain't coming back to the Bucks. I know that.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see Brady play till he's 50, just to say, like, we lived like a dude playing.
Totally.
Like, playing till he's 50. Like, I just think it's cool. I know a lot of people definitely don't, but I've actually enjoyed Brady more the past couple of years than I ever did. Like,
sure. Yes. Letting his hair down, total weirdo, won't eat strawberries Brady is like at least more interesting to me than like
he's the been winning way more machine. Open and like candid and like interviews and like stuff too. Like, I've enjoyed him a lot more through this period. And I know a lot of people just don't like him in general, but
I don't really like him at all, but I agree with you.
It's the inverse of Rodgers. Like, Rodgers is progressively going the other way, where I'm like, dude, I can't relate to you at any level.
Yeah.
But yeah, stay in the NFC. But I mean, I don't really have like a great lean here. I mean, my thing is with the Bengals, I think they're a better all-around team than the Chiefs. But how hurt is Mahomes? Because Mahomes is that good. And I keep coming back.
No one knows, right? That it's unanswerable. No one knows. That's why. And the line will probably keep moving. You know, we were just talking about these line movements, but it's probably going to keep moving because no one knows how healthy or unhealthy this dude is.
Yeah. All we needed was him to practice though. And that line was going to bounce back. Kind of knew that a little bit, but I keep coming back to the same thing though, is like when I look at like these four teams that are playing this weekend, like the worst unit on offense or defense is probably the Chiefs defense though. Like of all the teams, when you look at offense and defense, you were to rank them, like Chiefs defense would probably be eight if you're ranking all the offense and defenses on like a 1-8 list. And they haven't stopped Burrow at all in the three games that they played basically. And they're just so sensitive to getting pressure. I mean, you look at the Chiefs when they have gotten pressure on the quarterback, they're sixth in the NFL in completion rate. They've had the lowest yards per pass attempt in the NFL when they get pressure on the quarterback. When they don't get pressure on the quarterback, league high 75% completion rate, 5.5% touch rate, that's 30th, 7.8 yards per pass attempt, that's 24th. And they only pressured Burrow on 22% of his dropbacks in week 13. The only other quarterback the Chiefs pressured less in a game this season was Tom Brady. And when they haven't pressured Burrow in these three games, he's completed 75% of his passes for 9.1 yards per pass attempt, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. I just keep coming back to the Chiefs defense. Does the Chiefs defense have enough here to stop the Bengals? The Bengals have stopped themselves a number of times, if you're looking for that out. But yeah,
Zach Taylor seems to have gotten away from that though, of shooting himself in the foot with the too much running. I would say the Chiefs pass rush much better than
the Bills.
The Bills pass rush,
and it won't be in the snow. And you know, I'm sure that helped things. The conditions last week did aid the offensive line. They could get some guys back this week too. Kappa could be back, but obviously we know Lyle Collins is done.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think
we're only 2 weeks removed from the Bengals almost losing to Tyler Huntley though. So like, I'm not ready to go the other way.
Yeah. Like I'm not ready to crown the Bengals, but where I ultimately ended up is this is a free roll for Mahomes, right? It really is, where it's like you lose. All right, man, you had a high ankle sprain. It is what it is. You win. It's just another chapter in the Mahomes is, you know, brick by brick building this insane resume of quarterbacking.
I do think this is the game though, where you do, especially if the Bengals are able to devote things to Kelsey, where you say like, all right, this, we did ultimately like need Tyreek.
Oh, I completely agree. I think it's like where it's like, if they lose this game 31-10, like the Buccaneers Super Bowl blowout, it's like, yeah, I mean, the team has like six good players. You're not really that surprised. And that's kind of
the Kelsey juice is going to run out too.
It's going to run out.
He's going to be 34 next year. Obviously he just keeps getting better, but hey,
I'm in the hard way draft. They do the first best ball every single year on the FFPC. Travis Kelsey, third overall pick.
I mean, it's going to keep happening until he falls, right? Like it's just, he was awesome again this year, but he's 30. He's going to be 34. Like the Chiefs, like now that they've moved on from Tyreek Hill through like the last remaining stretch of his apex, like when Kelsey's against the wall, like they've got to refunnel the talent here. Obviously Sky Moore they haven't drafted wide receivers well at all, period. And obviously the free agent crop that
Hardman, Sky, Pringle, you know, just nothing. They've gotten nothing.
Yeah, Tyreek, and that was the hit.
I mean, we laugh about this, but like getting Noah Gray, who plays 50% of your snaps on offense for a fifth round pick, is like actually a huge win. You know, we'll see if he ever ends up becoming anything as a receiver. He might just be, you know, he might just be Eric Ebron on this team or whatever. All right, let's do 49ers Eagles. I'm sick of this shit, Kyle. I'm sick of it, man. Enough already. George Kittle bailed Brock Purdy out so hard on that throw over the middle of the field. That should have been an interception going the other way, turning into Cowboys points. And George Kittle turns into like, I don't know, you know, a kangaroo. I just like the coordination and the toughness that Kittle had to bounce that ball to himself and come down with it in traffic. George Kittle, man, that dude has the dog in him. I love George Kittle. What a man.
No one dislikes George Kittle, right? Like there's nobody.
So that's a great question. That's actually a great question. Are there people out there whose fandoms have so rotted their brain that they can't like any 49er, that they have to be like every 49er is a loser and a traitor?
I'm sure, but it exists, but like, man, no one hates George Kittle.
Who are the 49ers' primary rivals?
I mean, the Cowboys historically, right?
Yeah, like, historically.
I went to the Hall of Fame induction. Emmitt Smith and Jerry Rice went in the same year because I grew up, you know, Jerry Rice was my football deity at that age. And it was all like people just saying, like, we would have won 3 more Super Bowls, was it for you? And the other side was like, we would have won 3 more Super Bowls, was it for you? Like, yeah. You know, I would say historically that is that, like, you know, now it's like probably, you know, like the Rams, Seahawks have been like the bigger rivals. But do people in Seattle hate anything? Like,
yeah, that's a great, yeah, they don't. What is there for them to hate?
Yeah, I mean, they just, they're out there on the Oregon Trail, man.
Who's the, yeah, I guess it just doesn't matter. That being said, the Eagles are going to dog walk the 49ers in this game. That's just, this is the time of the year where Kyle Shanahan stuff tends to rear its ugly head. Honestly, they could, and we just said, I mean, they could have lost. I said this on the Swolecast yesterday, the horseshoe that has wedged up Brock Purdy's ass is starting to come loose.
Well, this will be their second game in a row against, you know, kind of a good defense. And I even,
this was the point you were making last week.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't even think the Cowboys are a team that like faltered defensively over the back third of the year. I don't think they're in the same weight class as the Eagles, but we saw the 49ers facing a defense with speed and aggression. They averaged 4.9 yards per play. That was by far their fewest in a game at Purdy under center. They had just 3 games with fewer yards per play the entire season than they had last week. Of the 4 teams that won, the 49ers had the lowest yards per play, lowest third down conversion rate, lowest red zone conversion rate of any team that won last week. And I think it's just going to be heightened, you know, on the road against an Eagles defense that has been excellent basically the entire year. So yeah, I think that's where it is. And you look at the pressure is where I think it's a big thing, because the Cowboys pressured Purdy on 48.5% of his dropbacks. So it's the highest rate of anyone who's pressured last week. He was 4 of 12, 4.6 yards per pass attempt under pressure. Where the Cowboys are bad as a pressure team is they're bad at converting pressures into sacks. They're number one in the NFL in pressure rate, 15th in converting pressures to sacks. The Eagles are number 2 in the NFL in pressure rate, number 1 in the NFL in converting pressures into sacks. The Cowboys had a plethora of opportunities to get sacks and turnovers, and they left them on the table last week. If those plays turn into negative plays for Brock Purdy this week, you know, for the first time, then that's where you have like the pool here. I'm excited to see both the Eagles offense face the 49ers defense, though. I think that's a pretty intriguing, you know, component of this game. But it's gonna be another high pressure game for the 49ers. And, you know, if the Eagles get up 10-0, are the 49ers like, is that one like is Purdy gonna be able to pass them out of anything? Probably not, right?
I mean, so like Purdy does lead. I think I saw Kevin Cole tweet this. He's like number 1 in EPA per play amongst all quarterbacks in the playoffs for the last 4 years. But yeah, I mean, this is what I said last week, like same basic vibe, which is if they do get down, if they're down 10 points on the road against the Eagles, is it all right, Brock, team on your back, make all the right decisions, do all the right things. Like at a certain level, Shanahan can't scheme you out of all this stuff. You know, you got to make, and it's not to say like clearly Purdy is better than, you know, a Brock Osweiler type or whatever. And Purdy there, I've like gone back and cause obviously we have to relitigate his college stuff now, like gone back and been like, well, he was really, really good as a true freshman. And then his offensive coordinator changed and they fired X, Y, and Z. And, you know, they ran too much, whatever. Like he was an incredibly, if you search like Brock Purdy Heisman, you could go back and find like some 2019 articles being like, you should bet on Brock Purdy to win the Heisman. Like this is a guy who is talented, but Jalen Hurts, the Eagles are just so good, man. They have players.
It feels like we talked like the Eagles, cause they were the best team in the NFL basically from the date the season opened, right? Like they were 9-0 at one point. It feels like we just got kind of bored with the Eagles. And we talked a little bit about it last week when people were like kind of in on the Giants. And it's like, dude, they're going to get stomped. Like, and I don't think the 49ers get rolled here, but I do feel like there's been just like a Eagles fatigue throughout the course of the season where like people were just like, the Eagles aren't as good as like they are, but they've really been the best team in the NFL the whole year.
They have been, and they don't really, what would you even say their Achilles heel is? You know, I don't really think they have one.
I mean, they don't, and their suit, and just like the 49ers who are really versatile offensively, so are the Eagles. Like the Eagles have shown that they are game script sensitive, like to opponents. Like they've come out in these games where teams that can stop the run, and they've thrown the ball aggressively with Jalen Hurts. You know, they've got Jalen Hurts's, you know, rushing component factored in. Yeah, it feels like this is a game though, if they do want to hit offensively. And I think this could be a lot like the Cowboys 49ers game last week. It could be lower scoring, not a lot of touchdowns in this game. But if the Eagles are going to show out offensively, it's going to have to be a big Arthur Juan, Devontae Smith game. Cause like where you beat the 49ers is vertically and with wide receiver play. So if the Eagles are going to have an offensive explosion, I imagine it's going to be because one or both of those guys went haywire.
Yes. I think it's probably going to be AJ Brown. I'm going to play a lot of that in DFS. I wonder if you agree with this. I sort of get the feeling that I don't know what it is, but people still sort of feel a hesitance about Jalen Hurts, right? I think that's what it is, which is like so insane.
I mean, we know what it is, but you know, it's why we need the Super Bowl to come through for some of these guys. Like, I really want like Lamar Jackson to win a Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts win a Super Bowl, right? Like, it needs to happen because people are always going to come back to like, well, if your guy can't pass, like, you know, you don't really have it. Like, they're eventually going to expose and you have to pass, because the Eagles haven't had to like come down from 17, right? Like, they haven't had to do that this year.
No, they did. They one game.
Like, I think the Colts game, they came down like 10, right?
I think they were down 14. I want to say it was 14. I want to say,
but that's going to be, but you're going to see here the same story, right? Until like we finally get the non like traditional passer winning a Super Bowl, right? Like, it's just going to be the same stuff. Always. I'm outright rooting for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl this year. So I probably cursed them.
I'm okay with any of the remaining teams winning the Super Bowl other than the 49ers. Hurts winning. Cool.
I mean, 49ers roster is loaded though. Like, it's a loaded ass.
Yeah.
Team.
I'm not doing the Purdy, Lance, Shanahan disc. I'm not doing it. You want to talk about something that would get me to be less online? The 49ers winning the Super Bowl would have me way less online. It was bad enough watching the freaking Buccaneers win. And last year's Super Bowl was terrible also. I guess the Chiefs Super Bowl was the last good one.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Who's
had some
before?
Good Super Bowls?
Last year's was not good.
As far as a game,
I guess last year's was competitive at least, but it wasn't good.
It kept us there to the end, but it wasn't a great game. No.
Yeah.
But like, it was like this season in the NFL, right? Where like,
yeah,
they're like, the games are close. Like, you know, that's all
Chiefs,
they care
about. Buccaneers was horrible. What a terrible game.
But we had a good run of Super Bowl. You don't even know, dude, when I was a kid, the Super Bowl was trash every year.
Really?
Like, it was always a blowout. The NFC just beat the shit out of the AFC every year. Like, when I was,
that's
when
so
I was
funny. Why? Why was it so imbalanced?
It was just, it was unreal, dude. Like, every year it happened.
Huh. Was that back like when the Cowboys were really good? Or
Cowboys,
was this like...
Cowboys and Niners just beat the hell out of it. And the Packers. Like, the Packers had that little run too, where they came out at the end of both of those teams, like the free agency era. But they just, my entire youth growing up was just the NFC dog walking the AFC, and the Bills and Broncos always getting to the post of the Super Bowl and just getting stomped.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad that's not the world
we've had a pretty good run though, like through your, like this most recent era. Cause we had Eagles Patriots was hot as fuck.
Yeah,
like that game was amazing.
Patriots,
Steelers,
Falcons.
Steelers, Cardinals. That game was amazing.
Yep.
What else did we have that was good? Patriots, Seahawks.
Patriots,
game.
Falcons, dude.
Yeah, Patriots, Falcons, great game. At least you know it had the tale of two halves, the comeback, and another Shanahan special in that one. Patriots, Seahawks with the Malcolm Butler interception, great game. 49ers Ravens with the weird blackout and like the comeback with Kaepernick.
Right.
Like, that was a good game. So we've had a pretty good.
We've had, Patriots, Seahawks, that might be the best one. That
was
play,
a great game.
That Malcolm Butler play.
Doug Baldwin pooped a football in that game as a celebration. Like, everyone forgets about that.
And the conspiracy theories, and then the Percy Harvin like punched someone the night before the game. Like, that game, that week had it all.
So listen, I was born in 1982. The AFC won the Super Bowl in 1984. The Raiders beat the then Redskins. They didn't win another Super Bowl until 1998.
Not great.
They went 14 straight years with the NFC won, right? Yeah.
I mean, well, I'm glad I got to get educated on the NFC beating the AFC's ass. That is before my time.
Yeah, just crazy, man. That whole, my whole youth was just watching whoever made the Super Bowl basically beat the Broncos or Bills, but there was a couple other pepper there. Like the 49ers played the Chargers one year in the Super Bowl. This year they got Dion, and like Stan Humphries was the quarterback for the Chargers. And like, you know, that one went. That was that Steve Young threw like 6 touchdowns.
I can't even believe the pain of Stan making Humphries it to the Super Bowl as many times as the Bills did and not winning. That's got to have irrevocable damage on your psyche.
Yeah, they went 4 in a row. I mean, this is the 5th straight AFC championship game for the Chiefs. Pretty unreal, man.
Yeah, it is. I've seen some discourse about this.
It's like
I'm not going to.
That
I'm
tweet
gonna,
doesn't deserve any light of day.
I'm just not going to penalize Patrick Mahomes for being so good that he wins some games he's not supposed to.
Still never played a road playoff game outside the Super Bowl.
That's nuts, man. You gotta assume the other shoe is gonna drop pretty soon. When do the Bengals have to start paying their guys?
This soon, because we talk about the receivers. Like, what do they do with T. Higgins? Because he wasn't a first round pick, so he's gonna have a chance to walk. There's no 5th-year option on him, is basically what I'm saying.
Yes.
And you know you've got a big payday coming for Chase because Jefferson's gonna reset the market.
The record. Yeah.
And then Chase, and you're going to have to pay Chase more than Jefferson and Burrow at the same time is up.
And Burrow is going to say, you better give me Patty's deal, baby.
And it's the Bengals. Like this organization, they haven't really been one that's thrown a lot of dough around.
Yeah. That's
taking care of their guys. So let's see.
I bet they let T walk, man. Thinking about it now. I bet they let T say, I'm out.
Because I thought about it too for wide receivers that can move, and he always comes to the top of the list. Brandon Ayuk being another one, but Brandon Ayuk was a first rounder, so the 49ers can just 5th-year option him and kick the can. But T. Higgins went in the second round.
Bad precedent for them because Debo, they just went through this with Debo, and Debo said, I ain't playing on that shit, and they paid him. So I bet Ayuk could do the same thing.
But at least that's an option like the team has. The Bengals don't have that out with – it's not even an option for them with
being a
second rounder. Like, they can't – like, he's going to hit free agency. So he could be a guy that moves. I doubt that they would trade him in the middle of this run, especially if they go to the Super Bowl this year. But he's a guy I could see not being retained and then getting, like, a huge contract in free agency.
The Bears should give T. Higgins a huge bag. The Bears should be like, T. Higgins, we'll
pay you. But you can't do it until after next year is the problem.
Oh, yeah, he's only heading into year 3. Well, maybe they could trade
him.
He'll
be year 4 this year. He'll be in the last year.
Yeah.
Because I doubt that they're just going to get rid of him. But if there was foresight to say, like, hey, we're going to have to pay Chase. We know we're paying Burrow. Let's trade Higgins now and get picks back.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the Bears – well, I guess the Bears already traded the 33rd overall pick for Chase Claypool. They could have traded it. They could have traded it for T. Higgins, maybe.
Probably.
I guess is funny because I think T was the 33rd overall pick, if I remember.
He was 33 or 34, right? Like right there.
Yeah.
Him and Michael Pittman were like right at the front of that second round.
The Chiefs got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, though.
Right.
Can you imagine how much better they'd be if they'd used that pick on anyone reasonable?
Just anyone.
Like anyone dude. A punter, honestly.
I feel bad because, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, like, he's had a lot of injuries, like, since the start of his career, too. Like, I think he's probably a better football player than, like, he'll ever be, like, thought of.
Sure.
But it was still an egregious pick because Jonathan Taylor was in that draft.
Yeah. And DeAndre Swift.
Or, dude, just give the Chiefs Jonathan Taylor.
Give them DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I mean, but even, like, Swift is whatever, but, like, Jonathan Taylor, legit running back.
Is gnarly, yeah.
Legit running back.
Yeah, it's not good, man. It's pretty depressing, but.
Yeah, it was a bad pick, for sure.
At least they pulled some back trading Tyreek away. At least they traded away the best wide receiver in franchise history.
But Tyreek also just had the most yards per route run, the second most in NFL history behind Steve Smith.
Kind of crazy that Mahomes beat all of his own records this year and was playing with a bunch of fucking jabronis.
You know? Jamokes, dude. Like, yeah. Jamokes.
Yeah.
But Kelsey had a monster year. They throw their running backs up, but these wide receivers, man, like, this could be a spot where it shows up. Like, why? That's been like the theme of all the teams getting eliminated from the postseason, right? Like,
Have no one to catch the ball.
The Cowboys had CeeDee Lamb, but no one after him. The Bills had Stephon Diggs, but no one after him. So, like, if the Chiefs lose, they're just gonna fall right in the same line, right? Like, it's just gonna be like, well, the Chiefs gotta get guys, they gotta get receivers.
I mean, maybe Sky can play. I don't know. Probably not.
We'll see. I don't want it to be talking like I'm with the foregone conclusion the Chiefs don't win this game either. They absolutely can win this game. You look at Mahomes last week in the second half, he still led all quarterbacks in EPA per play in the second half and rating in the second half on one leg, like, of all the guys that played last weekend. So, like, the thing with Mahomes is you get like that great, he's so good off structure. But, like, the dude can still play regular quarterback, too. Like, let's not forget, like, he can still play.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sam Hoppen tweeted it, like, 0.2 EPA per play after leaving and coming back. Like, that's pretty gnarly to be that good.
Yeah, I mean, he's still good enough to make some of these jamokes good, right? Like, who's to say we can't have one Sunday where, like, Juju's good or, like, you get one long.
I've been waiting all year for Valdez Scantling to score a 70-yard touchdown, and he hasn't done it as a Chief.
Nope. He did score 140 last week, at least.
He did. He did.
Two targets, but yeah. If there's any guy to do it, it'd be Mahomes. But I say he come back to just the Bengals do a little more defensively than the Chiefs do.
Yes, I mean a lot more. The Chiefs' defense stinks, man. I tweeted this last week during the game. It was like that interception, that the fourth quarter interception. I don't even remember the name of the defensive back who got it against the Jaguars. It was like the first time the defense has come up big for Mahomes in the playoffs his whole career.
Well, they would have had the interception on the D Ford offside.
No, dude, why'd you have to go there, man? That I'll probably go to my grave like upset about that and just be like, this is just some of the dumbest shit of all time. That absolutely was so annoying. 100%.
There's no doubt about it.
All right, man, we got to get out of here. We're leaving on that. What do the people have to look out for on Sharp Football this week?
Yeah, listen, wrote up these two games in detail. All the players in these games. We'll roll out some Super Bowl prop stuff after this. But other than that, we're just gonna enjoy these two games this weekend. I do believe it's the four best teams in the NFL that are left. So we don't rarely get that. So
I agree.
We'll enjoy that. So we'll enjoy these games. Hopefully they're good. The games last week weren't particularly strong. We're looking for a good run out here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're probably right. So there we go. Four good teams. Hopefully two good games. We've got three games left of the whole damn season, everybody. And we'll see you back next week.
Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.